We have been talking about living close to God this month, and we're going to look at, I think, one of those another steps that brings us closer to Him. And we're going to talk about that out of the second book of Corinthians and chapter 9, if you want to be turning there, as we talk about the godly quality of generosity. The godly quality of generosity. Now, I know a lot of people kind of shrivel up when we start talking about giving and generosity, but I hope you'll hear it from a totally different perspective this morning, because I think that's the way that Paul intended these Corinthian believers to hear on this great subject of generosity, because we have a Heavenly Father who is generous, who gives, and who loves to reward His people. And you're going to find that in these verses this morning. So 2 Corinthians chapter 9, beginning with verse 5. Now the background to this is that the Corinthian church, which was a very wealthy church, and they had promised to take up, you might say, a love offering, a benevolent offering for the church in Macedonia. You can read about that church back in the 8th chapter. It was a church that was not wealthy at all, but they were a loving church, a giving church, a generous church. But the Corinthian believers had promised about a year ago that they would take up an offering and send it to this small, struggling church there in Macedonia. And so Paul is telling them, he says, look, I'm going to send a couple of guys ahead, and they're going to have you go ahead and take up that offering so you won't be embarrassed when the offering is to be given to the Macedonians. We want you to be ready. So he begins in verse 5. He said, therefore, I thought it necessary to exhort the brethren to go to you ahead of time and prepare your generous gift beforehand, which you had previously promised, that it may be ready as a matter of generosity and not as grudging obligation. You'll notice two times in that fifth verse he uses the word generous or generosity. Verse 6, but this I say, he who sows sparingly will also reap sparingly, and he who sows bountifully will also reap bountifully. So let each one give as he purposes in his heart, not grudgingly or of necessity, for God loves a cheerful giver. And God is able to make all grace abound toward you, that you always, having all sufficiency in all things, may have an abundance for every good work. As it is written, he has dispersed abroad, he has given to the poor, his righteousness endures forever. He's quoting there out of Psalm 112, describing a righteous man. Now may he who supplies seed to the sower and bread for food supply and multiply the seed you have sown and increase the fruits of your righteousness, while you are enriched in everything for all liberality, which causes thanksgiving through us to God. For the administration of this service not only supplies the needs of the saints, but also is abounding through many thanksgivings to God. 2 Corinthians 9, in my opinion, is one of the greatest chapters in all of the Bible that speaks about both the blessings and the rewards of living a generous life. Paul is teaching the Corinthians, I think, some of the most wonderful truths in all of Scripture about giving and about generosity. But he's also teaching them about God's response to generosity. You know, there's a lot of traits that can describe the heart and the attitude of a Christian, but I don't think there is any more name appealing than generosity. That ought to be the hallmark of every Christian. And that doesn't just apply to a person that has a lot of wealth, a lot of money, a lot of resources that can give, and it doesn't really hurt them that much. He's talking about people that give regardless of their financial situation. And he's not just talking about money. He's talking really about the character of the person. He's talking about the person's relationship with Christ is really what he's trying to get across. It's not the dollar amount. It's not even money he's talking about necessarily. It's about giving your heart, your life, and being in a relationship with Christ where he does that work in your heart of changing you into a person who is a generous giver in all areas. You know, in Proverbs chapter 22 and verse 9, it says this. It says that he who has a generous eye will be blessed, for he gives bread to the poor. You know, when I read that the first time, I thought, what does that mean, a generous eye? And I think it's talking about the kind of person who is constantly looking, where can I give? Where can I help? Where can I be of assistance? Where is there a need that I can meet myself? Back in chapter 11 of Proverbs, in verse 24 and 25, it says, there is one who scatters, yet increases more. And there is one who withholds more than is right, but it leads to poverty. The generous soul will be made rich, and he who waters will also be watered himself. Luke would write in Acts chapter 20 and verse 35, and I think this is something he heard Jesus say, that it is more blessed to give than to receive. So here's what I want us to really sink our teeth into this morning. If you really want to live close to God, then become a generous person. If you really want to be close to God, learn to be generous. Now, let's look at a couple of things, and I think the whole background to what Paul is saying is that generosity reflects God's nature. Generosity reflects God's nature. You know, even a basic, elementary understanding of who God is and what God is like will tell you that he is a generous God whose nature, very nature, is to give. You go all through the scripture, we're going to look at some things in just a moment, but when you really begin to examine who God is and what God is like, you cannot miss that God is a generous giving God. Let me give you some examples. A verse that I hope every one of you can quote from memory. For God so loved the world that he gave. Gave what? His firstborn, his only begotten son. In James chapter 1, verse 5. If any of you lacks wisdom, let him ask of God, who gives to all men liberally, graciously. If you go all the way back to the Garden of Eden, and here he places the first man and the first woman, He places them literally in the most beautiful, lush garden that only God could create. He wanted the very best place for these two, first here on earth, to ever live, ever walk, ever breathe air on earth. He wanted them to have the very best. When he brought the Israelites out of poverty and out of captivity in Egypt, he was leading them toward a land of milk and honey. In other words, it was going to be a fruitful, prosperous, blessed land. God led them out, leading them toward that. When God usually does something, I like what Paul says in Ephesians 3, verse 20. Paul says God usually does exceedingly abundantly above all that we could ask or think. Now, you think of the abundant generosity that God has created for us in the world in which we live. The abundance that we have of natural resources, the beautiful scenery, the magnificence of the universe. When you think about it, the moon, the stars, the vastness of space, God went over and above. You see that generosity of God reflected in the world around us. And because it is God's nature to be generous, people that are called followers of His, Christians, should also reflect that same generosity of God, because His very Spirit lives within us. We are to be generous in sharing not just our money, our finances, but our time. We are to be generous in sharing our talents. We are to share our love and our kindness with people. Generosity is something that every single Christian ought to practice. Why? Because we are called to be like Christ. I was thinking, if I had but one opportunity to teach someone about the Christian life, what would I really teach them? Well, I, of course, would teach them about salvation, knowing Christ, about being assured of that salvation. I would certainly teach them about prayer and about reading the Bible. I would teach them about being a witness and sharing the gospel. I would teach them about being a part of a church and a church family. But I would be absolutely remiss if I did not teach them about giving and about being generous. You really want to get in on the real Christian life? You really want to get on the inside of what it means to really be like your Savior and about your Heavenly Father? Then learn to be generous. Learn to give. It brings the greatest pleasure and joy in your life that you will ever experience, because God intended for us to learn that there is truly a blessing, and it's more blessed when we learn to give. Time, talents, finances, love, kindness, goodness, whatever it is, we learn to give, and God blesses us as we do give. But here's a second thing. Generosity reveals our heart. Look in verse 7. Paul writes to these Corinthians and he said, "So let each one give as he purposes in his heart, not grudgingly or of necessity or compulsion or being compelled by something or someone, for God loves a cheerful giver." Now notice what he says. He said, each person is to give as he purposes in his heart. And I think what he's saying is that what you purpose to give is between you and the Spirit of God that lives within you. You see, God's not looking to pry our hands open and force us to give out of a reluctant spirit. That's not the way God operates. That's not what God does with us. He doesn't stand there and say, okay, I'm going to get that out of your hands if I have to break every finger. No, God is not that kind of God. He wants our giving to be done out of a cheerful spirit, a cheerful attitude that comes from a surrendered heart. You say, well, how do you become a cheerful giver? Well, the answer to that is very simple. First of all, God has to do a work in your heart. He's got to really get inside of you, get hold of your heart, and then he does something that you begin to sense. God is releasing me. He is freeing me up to be able to give as I see a need. You see, the natural heart of most men is a heart that is reluctant to give. We could even call it selfish. We could be grudging givers. But it's only when we become unselfish, it's only when we become the kind of person who gives out of a grateful heart that we really begin to understand what generosity is all about. And we become cheerful in our giving. You know, if you don't mind a personal story, I think I preached twice. This is back in 1973. I think I preached twice in my home church. Invited me back to do a revival. A week-long revival. I didn't have that many sermons. But the long story short is, a lot of my family, relatives, friends, classmates, it was sort of daunting to look out and you see people that have known you all of your life, and you see teachers who taught you in school and coaches who coached you in sports and friends that you played sports and did everything with. It was kind of daunting to look out and see them, but at the end of the week, they had taken up a love offering each night, and I think out of my family and relatives and so on, it was a very large love offering. Now, there was a fellow that was a member of that church. He was sometimes a part-time pastor, and he had a lot of health problems. And I remember looking out at him one night when I was preaching, and God just kind of, for whatever reason, zeroed him in to my mind. Well, when the revival was over and I had gone over to the church and visiting with the pastor, and he handed me the envelope, and he said, man, you really got blessed. And I looked in there, and that was about twice, maybe 2 months, 2.5 months of what Joy and I took home every month. As seminary students, and my jaw just kind of dropped. But about the time my jaw dropped, this gentleman popped into my mind, and I heard God's Spirit say, give half to him. And I thought, Lord, this is 2 to 3 months of income for Joy and I, and you're asking me to give him half? Well, man, I struggled with that for a little bit. And I walked back home, it was just across the alley there, and I stewed for a little bit. And I went back over there to the church, and I knew what God was telling me. And I said, okay. I said, Pastor, I need you to give half of this. The gentleman's name was Lee Woods. I said, I need you to give half of this to Lee. And he said, what? And he said, you're a student. You need this. And I said, I know I need it, but I know what God's told me. And he really didn't want to do it, but he took that check, tore it up, and gave me half. And I said, make sure Lee gets that. You know, God showed me something later on about that. First of all, when I walked back home, I was free. Half of what I would have had, but I was free. God broke the dam loose in my life. Giving is one of my favorite things to do. I love to give. But here's the interesting thing about the end of that. The last year that my mother was able to live at home, she was 91 years of age. Alzheimer's had begun to set in. This gentleman, Lee Woods' oldest daughter, out of the kindness of her heart, would go to my mother's home three times a day and check on her, fix her meal for her, clean the house, and just sit and talk with her. And I thought, that's interesting. All those years later, it was this man's daughter who would take care of my mother. The last year she was home. That's not the end of it. This gentleman, Lee Woods, as I told you, was a lay preacher, witness for Christ. I had a cousin who had a messed up life, if anybody could ever have one. He was about 65, 70 years old, living in a tiny little house. And had nothing. He had just frittered away life. Failed marriages, all those kinds of things. He's dying of lung cancer. And Lee Woods went and talked to him and led him to the Lord. The last month or so of my cousin's life, even my dad told me, you won't believe the change in Jack. That boy got saved. He got saved, which was a miracle. And I looked at that and I thought, God, I take no credit, but I looked back and I said, God, did my being obedient to what you told me to do with this gentleman lead to what his daughter did for my mother? Did it lead for what he did for my cousin? You see, God has sometimes to do a great work in our heart to bring about a spirit of generosity. You see, that's what God's after. Please listen. God's not after your money. He doesn't really need it. But what God is after your heart. And the evidence that He has your heart is when we give because we want to help people. And we give because we want to bless people. And we give because we enjoy the sense of fulfillment and joy that being generous brings to our lives. If you want your heart to follow after the things that God's heart is after, things like His church, things like lost people, things like people in great need, if you want to be like God, then you must allow God to do that work in your heart and make you and help you to become a generous person. You see, God is a giver. He is a generous God. And we ought to give out of the pure joy of being able to imitate our Heavenly Father. The happiest people I know are the generous, giving people who know the joy of being able to share in the lives and needs of others or in the church or in whatever every area of need it is. They get the pleasure, the joy of being able to give. Now, here's a third thing that Paul teaches here, and that is generosity reaps its rewards. Let me ask you this question. Do you honestly believe in your heart that God is a rewarder? Now really check your heart for a minute. Do you honestly believe that God is a rewarder? Remember what was written in Hebrews 11, verse 6, that great chapter on faith. It says, without faith, it is impossible to believe Him. But he that comes to God must believe that He is, and that He is a rewarder of those that diligently seek Him. You see, God loves to reward those who seek His will, who seek His ways, and who seek Him. In verse 6, if you'll look at that verse again, Paul gives a universal law of sowing and reaping. And he gives it not only to just strengthen our faith, but also to show us the reward of being generous. Look what he says. But this I say, he who sows sparingly will also reap sparingly, and he who sows bountifully will also reap bountifully. You can't miss what he's saying. You want to reap reward? You want to reap bountifully? He says, then you sow bountifully. That's a natural law of reaping and sowing. Sowing and reaping. It's a built-in law in our world that God placed to teach us the great joy that comes from giving. But he didn't stop there. In verse 8, look what he says. He said, and God is able. Now just stop right there for a moment. God really is able? You know, we say God is all powerful and almighty and God can do anything. But sometimes we sort of stutter and stammer and stumble when it comes to this area of being generous. But notice how Paul finishes this out. And God is able to make all grace abound toward you, that you always having all sufficiency in all things, may have an abundance for every good work. You can't miss what he's saying. He's saying God is able. He is able to do exceedingly abundantly above all that we ask or think. He says he is always able to make grace abound toward us. We are always going to have sufficient needs met. We are always going to have an abundance for things that need to be done. What he's telling us is, listen, when you get in on God's plan of giving and generosity, when you become a cheerful, generous giving, then it says God is the type of God who's going to make everything. It's going to work in your favor. It's going to work in your behalf. Now, just as a reminder, our motive for giving is not to get, but we give out of a heart that is right. We give out of a heart that has the motive of being used of God to give and be a blessing to others. And when our motive is right, that's when God rewards us. Once we learn to give cheerfully, once we learn to give with the right attitude, once we learn to believe that God is able, not only will we have enough for ourselves, but we'll have enough to bless others. That's what he's saying in verses 10 through 12. Now may he who supplies seed to the sower and bread for food, supply and multiply the seed you have sown, and increase the fruits of your righteousness. Now what he's saying is, once we learn the law of generosity, he says God not only will supply the seed for you to sow and your bread that you need to eat, and he will supply the seed, and he will increase what you have given, what you have done. That's the law of multiplication. So here, I think, is what I hope we grasp out of this passage this morning. First of all, it is through our giving and our generosity that God has chosen to teach us some of the most priceless lessons that we'll ever learn. First of all, about faith, about trusting God, but we'll also learn some of the priceless lessons about the joy that comes from giving and sharing. You know, I love, as I said, I love to give. God freed me up years ago. And I look for ways to give. Sometimes money, sometimes time, sometimes whatever. But God will take a person who has a generous heart, whose heart is in alignment with his, and he will allow you to reap the joyful benefits of being a giver. But here's the second thing. There are people who are lost. There are missionaries that need to be sent and to be supported. There are church ministries that need to be supported and undergirded. And that's why God is always looking for people who are faithful and generous and willing to give to his kingdom's work. God's always looking for people that have the kind of heart, the kind of spirit, that they see a need and they're willing to give to that need. But here's a third thing. I think Paul wants to teach us another lesson, and that is the generous person is not only blessed by God, but he becomes a blessing to other people. That's why generosity really is a godly quality. You want to live close to God, then learn to be generous. Learn to trust God. Paul said God is able, which simply is saying God's trustworthy. You can trust him. Learn to give out of a cheerful heart, a happy heart, a freed up heart. That's when you really begin to discover, I think, the heart of God. And you begin to see God in a totally different way. You begin to see how he's blessed you. You begin to see the generosity of God in you, in your life and in the lives of others. And you realize that truly at God's very core is a heart of giving and a heart of generosity toward his people. Let's bow together. Heavenly Father, thank you this morning that you indeed have over and over and over again proven to be a generous, giving God, that you have shown us in our personal lives, you have shown us in this world that you created, you have shown us through other people out of the kindness and generosity of their heart. You have shown us the joy of being a person who has learned the freedom that comes in being a giving person. I thank you, Heavenly Father, for those right here today, sitting right here this morning, who have that kind of spirit, that kind of heart, a generous heart, loving to give. I thank you, Father, that they too have learned that as they give out of a cheerful heart and a right spirit, You're a rewarder. You bless them. And I thank you for blessing them. I thank you for blessing our church. I would ask you this morning, have you learned the joy of giving, of being generous with your time, your talents, your love, your kindness? You learned that? It's a great lesson to learn. This morning, I would ask you if you've ever trusted Christ as your Savior. God loved you so much, He gave. He gave His Son that you might have the freedom that comes from knowing Him, your sins forgiven. God did that for you, that you might be saved. He wants you to receive that gift. It's the greatest gift you'll ever receive when you receive Jesus. You do that by confessing Him as Lord, by confessing your sin and saying, God, I'm a sinner and I need forgiveness. And you do that by asking Him to come into your heart, forgive you, become your Savior. So, Lord, other decisions maybe need to be made this morning, but I pray that you'd lead us all to the altar where we can truly humble ourselves and say, God, whatever stands between me and you in this area of being a giving, generous person, I ask you to clean me up. Show me the joy of truly being a generous person. Lord, we love you and thank you in Jesus' name. Amen. Would you stand with me, please?